there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking a little bit about the things that are happening in Morehead. The regular city council meeting happened earlier this week, and a very big, busy agenda. A lot of things to discuss. First of all, there was a report from Downtown Morehead Incorporated. It sounds like some good news is on the horizon, and the individuals downtown are starting to plan for the possibility of hosting some events.
We are. I'm really excited that I'm hopeful to have a really strong year, at the same time a safe and healthy year. We are in collaboration with Downtown Morehead working on the Freedom Fest, which would be on July 3rd, and then also the Earth Needs Festival and Oktoberfest, as well as the Appalachian Craft Show this year.
Those are all events that everyone in the region looks forward to showing up to, but of course, the vaccines are still being distributed, and although there is talk of most of Kentucky having access to vaccines before the summer, is there any concern about, what is the discussion, I should say? I know there is concern about people gathering even after being vaccinated, but what are those discussions happening at this point?
Absolutely. Right now, everyone involved in the planning phase is keeping up to date with CDC guidelines and recommendations, as well as information coming from our local health departments and out of Frankfort. So any type of event that is had will follow whatever guidelines are in place at that time.
It's kind of like this entire pandemic. It's a hurry up and wait sort of situation. Everything changes from day to day almost. All the things are starting to slow down, but you know, it was a year ago that you and I were discussing, the need to shut down and the fact that the state administration was starting to discuss regulations almost to the day that we had that conversation. One of the last times that you were in the office here.
Absolutely. You know, I can remember leaving your office and going back to City Hall and having an internal department head meeting. And we said, you know, if this does happen, if this does make it here, these are steps that we will take. And little did we know what was ahead of us. And so I think we've come a long way in the last year. And we've also really learned how to kind of roll with the punches and be flexible within governments and municipalities.
One of the things that I have really, I guess I've not been surprised by, that's not the appropriate wordage, but I've seen the way that the people in this community, the leaders of the community, be it with city government, county government, MSU, St. Clair, everyone's really come together in a way that was hoped for in the before times, but this crisis has really forced all the groups to work very closely together since the beginning of the pandemic.
It really has. And you know, if there is a silver lining or a bright side of this type of pandemic, it's that we could really see how much a community can come together and work together. And it was very encouraging and continues to be. This past weekend even was a good example. The city and county university, we all came together to honor the Eagles, the men's basketball team. And we were able to do that while still being safe, wearing masks, social distancing. And so I think while it's presented a lot of challenges, we've also really been able to form some even stronger bonds within our communities.
And hopefully that will continue when things start returning back to normal, which is hopefully soon. I wonder if you have any updates as far as what's happening with vaccines and how people are within the city are really reacting to those being available, and as far as community members, but also the city employees. I know that different groups have been able to get vaccines, and the city employees, a lot of them were in the first rounds.
Yes, you know, the governor had in that kind of first class, there was verbiage for governmental employees and even elected officials to be included in that. Part of it was to keep your essential services up and moving and as protected as possible. But then the other piece of that was to kind of lead by example and show that it's okay if you're afraid, but also know that others are doing it. And as leaders, we felt, you know, really a responsibility and a duty to our community to say that we have faith in this new medicine that's out there, and we're doing it. So hopefully you see us as taking this vaccination as a reassurance that it could be a good option for you as well. As far as vaccines within the community, the health department and the hospital have worked together really phenomenally. They are following the tiers provided by Frankfurt. And then they have really kind of put together a good system for signing up for the vaccine on St. Clair's website and then scheduling. I know it's always hard when you initially roll out something like this, but I think we really need to thank our leaders in both the health department and the hospital, because they've really done a great job of putting together this kind of emergency service very quickly.
And then, of course, some of the pharmacies within the community are starting to offer vaccinations also. I know that Walgreens is, and I'd heard a rumor that Kroger was as well, but I'm not sure on that one.
You know, I think just this week, actually, some local pharmacies are getting some vaccines, and it is possibly even the new Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I know that different places have access to different types of the vaccine, so I think we're going to start seeing a lot more variety come into play as well.
Now, getting into the agenda from the city council meeting, I wanted to discuss the update from Pax and Walker. They're the group that's working on the new police station and 911 facility. There's a lot of activity happening there. I drive by there on my way to work sometimes, and I'm able to see all the trucks and the people moving about, but there's not walls yet. So tell me where we are in that particular project.
There are not walls, but I really hope we see walls soon. I know there's a lot of mud, and I know that the construction on Main Street can cause some delays in traffic. And so we do ask that you all please bear with us. It will kind of come in phases. Certain days we'll be blocking Main Street so they can put beams in and carry in equipment. And then other days you won't see any disruption there. So we do just ask that you kind of pay attention and bear with us as we move through this process. We're going to have a really phenomenal facility that the community will have access to once it's finished. So we're very excited. The construction group is behind. There were some additional changes that had to be made regarding the retaining wall that was put in. So they're running about a month behind right now. If the weather's good, they're hoping to pick that pace back up and make up for some time. But due to the ice storms and the snow and then the issues with the retaining wall, it has caused some delays.
I feel like that's a typical Kentucky spring, though. If you're here for a little bit of time, the weather is completely different from week to week almost. So, and unfortunately, sometimes we have very wet springs and summers, and that can really affect any kind of construction project for sure.
That's exactly right.
There were several different things on the unfinished business agenda. And first, the city council voted to extend the temporary closure of Bats and Oats. I know that that's a little surprising as we increase the availability of indoor seating for restaurants across the state. But really, that has a lot to do with the Entertainment Destination Center update.
It does. So the Bats and Oats area is included in the proposed Entertainment Destination Center area, which kind of encompasses a good portion of Main Street as well as First Street. It's an area that we would be able to more easily close off for events, but then also it gives businesses some flexibility to carry food and beverages to common areas within that district. We are waiting on the approval or correspondence for the submitted ABC license for the city. We have not received that yet. And so pending on the information we get back, if it is or if it isn't approved, could kind of change the dynamics somewhat of Bats and Oats. So that's the reason for not permanently closing it or having a shorter closure date, because we need to get the information back from Frankfurt, see where we are, and then continue with a plan.
I know I utilized that street. The tables are back out. It was beautiful earlier this week, and I was able to grab some takeout and go with my family down there to enjoy some outside time for dinner earlier this week, and that's a really nice option for those of us who aren't quite comfortable going inside just yet.
It is, and you know, there are folding tables and chairs as there were last year out there right now. But actually, in the next few days, we are expected to receive the delivery of some more permanent seating for that area. So we're very excited about that. We're hoping to have that set up by the end of the week.
Well, that'll be interesting to see. I'm excited for that. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this. And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Moorhead. Laura, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're talking about the city council meeting that took place earlier this week. Lots of things on the agenda. For one of the things that happened in unfinished business, the second reading of an ordinance that has to do with the zoning map of the city, reclassifying some properties up on Clinic Drive. So in short terms, I know it's a very complex situation, but can you explain to me what the change is that's happening up there?
Yes, so this was a zone change that came out of the Planning Commission. It was a requested zone change because I believe there's some property that is for sale or is in the process of being sold. And so right now, that is actually a residential zone, even though it is all businesses in that area. So initially, when our zoning went through, it was planned to be residential and then never changed or brought up to date once businesses started to go into that area. So this is just kind of cleaning up some of the zoning areas that we have in place.
And the city council was able to discuss TIF districts. Obviously, that's been a lot of discussion about that happening with the discussion of the new TIF district, which I recently heard the property has officially sold. And I know that the city doesn't have anything to do with that. I'm going to track down Harry Clark to talk with him about that later this week. But I did want to talk about the downtown TIF district. It seems like every time there's a TIF meeting, everything goes into executive session, and I have no idea what's happening with that.
We had a TIF district board meeting for the downtown TIF in February. I'm with Luckett and Farley, the developer on that project. They had told us that the projected closing date for the Carol McDaniel property, which is directly next to the conference center property that the hotel is proposed to go on, was scheduled to close on March 8th. I know that has been delayed again and pushed back. On our agenda this month, what we had was a proposed extension by the developer. In the original agreement, they had until January of 2021 to start construction on the hotel and present a timeline, and due to COVID, that has delayed them. So those timeframes were not able to be met. So they've asked for an up to 1 year extension to begin construction, as well as architectural and engineering consulting on the project. But City Council, however, did table that because they felt there was some additional information needed. So I look for a special meeting to be called to review or amend that agreement in the near future.
Oh. Well, I know with that particular thing, it is a difficult concept to grasp, understanding TIF district. I was working in journalism when it was first agreed upon downtown, and it's something that we've discussed for quite some time. And I know people are really interested in following it, but sometimes it's hard to keep up because you can't really talk about what's happening because it could hurt the sale of certain things, or it could cause potential construction costs to go up, and everything kind of has to be done in closed session with many of the meetings. But that can be frustrating for the people in the community because they really want to know what's going on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've learned very quickly that when you're working on such projects of this type of magnitude, and when you're dealing with private developers, a lot of the information is kind of in executive session until it comes to fruition. And so I think that we're really working those final stages with the developer, and COVID again has caused so many unexpected obstacles. So we are just still waiting. And like I said, I hope to have a special meeting to amend that proposal shortly.
One of the things that was discussed, and it's kind of goes around in a circle, but essentially a resolution authorizing you to kind of do paperwork for some different things. But what is, as far as like official project representative, establishing criteria and request for qualifications, is that to do with the TIF property, or is that something completely different?
Actually, that is to do with the entertainment district area. So what we're doing is we are working on a request for proposals for a architectural firm or a consulting firm to come together and create a larger vision. So map it out, show us what's needed, whether that is tables or chairs or public art throughout the entire area. It just gives a lot of different options. So we really just kind of want something to be put together that shows us, where do we need electric if we want to have these streets closed off? If we want to build a structure, what are our options? What will still accommodate emergency services? So something that's just very encompassing. And that is a proposal we will be putting out soon to try to get that type of information started.
Mm-hmm. I know that I've been to downtown Lexington and also downtown Cincinnati recently and seen some spaces that are very similar to what has been discussed for the Entertainment Destination Center, and especially with Bats and Oats, some ideas that have been batted around. And it's really interesting to kind of see how other places have made their spaces into something that can be utilized by a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, it's becoming very common with a lot of different communities. I know Maysville has actually created an entertainment destination center as well. And so I think it's something that COVID gave the opportunity for a trial phase. And then we've seen the success of that and can continue it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The City Council discussed changing some personnel policies, talking about holiday pay, compensation salary scales, personnel policies, updates. Kind of give me a rundown, a little bit of some of the changes that are happening.
So some of these were annual changes that you'll see on our agenda. So a salary scale update is something that's done every year. Beyond that, we have been spending time reviewing all of the policies within every department and bringing them up to date. They haven't been reviewed in almost 5 years now. So we're coming onto situations where changes just need to be made. And so we're using KLC guidance as well as employee guidance on those.
We've got just a few minutes left, and I wanted to touch base. I know that you traveled. A lot of people think about the mayor of Moorhead just staying in Moorhead, but you are actually traveling and spending some time in Washington, D.C. this week, but that can impact Moorhead. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing up there.
It can. So I'm actually in D.C. as we're recording this, but I am spending some time working with the ARC, the Appalachian Regional Commission, visiting them with some of my colleagues from the Leadership Institute. We're working on some projects together and had the opportunity to meet with their executive director. And then we're meeting with senators and congressmen on the Hill as well. So really just a good opportunity for networking and keeping people in DC up to date on what's going on in Moorhead.
And of course, while you're up there, you're going to be meeting with the people who are representing this our community up there in DC. Generally, when you go up, I know that it's been different since COVID happened. But what are some of the things that you're seeing right now?
It's hard to see a lot, actually. The Capitol is pretty barricaded off. You really can't even access it unless you have kind of meetings set ahead of time, which we were lucky to do. But there's also just kind of a sense of urgency as far as COVID here. You don't see anyone without a mask. Actually, the taxi that I was in, the driver said, you don't mess around here. You wear your mask. No one questions it. So it's really kind of unique to see and also very eye-opening.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown, I do appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today.
I appreciate your time as well.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.